Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. From Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 through 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had, and bought it. Now, a parable has been defined as an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. It is a story involving physical things that teaches spiritual truths. In Matthew 13, there are 7 parables, each depicting and defining and explaining and illustrating something about the kingdom of heaven. Because of similarity, it is reasonable to study some of these parables together. Now, our 2 parables under consideration, the parable of the treasure and the parable of the pearl, do not merely repeat the same identical lesson. The primary message is repeated, but there is a difference. These 2 parables complement each other. Together, they include 2 broad classes of people who are so fortunate as to come into possession of the kingdom of heaven. And what is the kingdom of heaven? Friend, it is the same as the kingdom of God, God's kingdom, His spiritual kingdom, that which has come from heaven, the kingdom that had its origin in heaven. It is the Lord's church, the kingdom of Christ. This kingdom was prophesied to come in Old Testament prophecies. It is the one of which Christ gave Peter, then all the apostles, keys to that which they used in preaching the gospel of the kingdom. It is the kingdom of heaven in the sense that it was designed in heaven, and those who live faithfully therein shall exist with God in heaven for eternity. The kingdom of heaven is composed of a citizenry that is the same as the church, Colossians 1 and verse 13. There are few truths that are so denied so fiercely in the denominational world as this truth. But there are few matters that are emphasized more completely in the Scriptures than the identity of the church as the Lord's kingdom. These parables teach the glory, the worth, the value, the greatness, the desirability of being in the kingdom, the Lord's church. The difference in the parables is the difference between what we might call finders and seekers. Sometimes men would bury their treasure. There were no banks and possibly none to whom they could entrust their wealth. And sometimes men died with the secret of the location of their treasure dying with them. There it would remain until someone possibly discovered it through chance. Found, according to Thayer, means to find by chance, like stumbling upon it, unaware of its existence until it was located. The picture is like one of maybe plowing in a field, and his plow uncovers a box of treasure that he had not anticipated, nor ever knew before that it existed. The pearl merchant, on the other hand, is somewhat different from that. He did not just happen upon the goodly pearl. He perceived that it did exist somewhere, and he was diligently seeking it. Now, he had some pearls, but they were blemished and tinged in some way, with defects of some kind. And he spent effort to locate the pearl of great price. Now there are 2 kinds of people represented here, who come into possession of that which is valuable. One was a finder, the other was a seeker. The discovery of their prize is not what made the treasure or the pearl valuable. The value was there whether they ever discovered them or not. Regardless of what reaction they might have taken once they knew the treasure and pearl existed, the value was inherent in the treasure and in the pearl. We must stress the value. Their good fortune was twofold. One, discovering what was already of great value, and 2, recognizing the value of what they discovered, or having sufficient appreciation for it to make the effort to own it. How valuable was the treasure and the pearl to them? Something may be of great value, but not to a particular person. Some may not care for what they have and consider something very valuable that is really almost worthless. But these discoverers sold all that they had to secure for themselves what they wanted. No price was too dear to obtain what they considered valuable and available. Well, such is the earthly story. Now let us learn the spiritual meaning and the application. The treasure and the pearl represent the kingdom of heaven, the church. Just how valuable is the church? Well, the value of a thing is determined by the price paid for it. However men may consider the church, the Lord considered it of such value as to pay the price of the blood of Jesus Christ for it, Acts 20 and verse 28. How valuable is the church to you, dear listener? Some seem to consider it so useless. What a tragic mistake for anyone to so consider the church of Christ. Christ gave himself for it, Ephesians 5:25. How valuable is Christ? There is quite a contrast in God's sense of values and those held by the denominational world regarding the church. How can men say the church is not essential since Jesus died for it? How can men consider the church optional in light of its relationship to God and to Christ? Some do not think it is worth working for its welfare. Some who are members of it are not real loyal and faithful. But just as Christ is the Savior, the church is the saved, and is the very embodiment of God's plan for saving man. Christ will save the church, Ephesians 5:23. There is no salvation outside the church, because the church is the body of Christ, and there is no salvation outside of Christ. Some go through life oblivious as to how meaningful and beautiful and valuable it is living with God in His kingdom. By chance they hear the truth, they learn it. Having never realized the existence of such blessings in this life, they never knew how much they needed Christ or the joy of being in Christ. But they happened upon the truth. There are others who have realized that life has purpose and meaning, that there must be truth in the world, and have searched diligently for it before discovering it. The way of the Lord for man is valuable whether men ever discover it or not, or whether they respect it once they become aware of it or not. How wonderful it is for all concerned when people do show appreciation for what God offers once they are aware of its existence. Yes, dear friend, the church is of great value, not because of the righteousness of the people in it. Those people have been washed clean of sin by the blood of Christ, and now live in a relationship where the blood of Christ keeps on cleansing as one walks faithfully, 1 John 1 and verse 7. All credit for the value of the church belongs to Christ. And just as the treasure and the pearl were so dear to those in the parables, so much so that they gave their all to obtain them, so it is with the Lord's church. One must deny self and follow Christ. Those who love sin must turn from sin. The lover of money must abandon his covetousness. The indolent man must learn to work. The violator of the law must learn to obey the law. The lover of pleasure must control himself and follow after righteousness. In other words, in order to make the gain, there must first be the sacrifice. It is wonderful to realize that we never have to give up anything that is worthwhile or good in order to lay hold on the spiritual wealth of being in the Lord's church. We must be like Paul and count all things but loss for the cause of Christ. These two short parables make two great points that directly bear upon our duty and our accountability before God. They teach us the value of the church. They also teach us what the Lord expects of us regarding the church. Do we respect what Jesus taught? If so, we shall be in the church, laying hold on the valuable treasure, the pearl of great price, the spiritual wealth the Lord has made available to us in His church. This has been A Burning Fire, Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.